Hi, thanks everybody for joining. So I heard a bunch of these. First public EC meeting of 2017, and we have a full agenda today. I'm going to go ahead and get started with introductions. This is Heather Van Curen, and we have the PMO presentation. We have already taken our roll call of the executive committee. Today we are missing ARM and Software AG. Unless they've joined late, if so, please speak up now. Otherwise, you'll be recorded as absent. Our agenda today.
This is Rod Crawford from ARM. I've been on since 9.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Rod, for joining. All right, so we're just missing Software AG. Thanks for speaking up. So what we'll cover today in the public EC meeting is we'll welcome our new EC members. We have 2 new EC members as of May 2017, so we'll give you an opportunity to introduce yourselves to the community. A couple of quick updates regarding JCP membership as well as upcoming Java 1 in San Francisco, and an update on some of the executive committee working groups that have been going on. Kicking off the beginning of 2017, and our 2 agenda items to cover after those updates are an OpenJDK adoption group update from Dalibor Topic and a Java User Group USA tour update following the last JCP EC face-to-face meeting in Austin, Texas, and that update will be led by Bruno Souza of Sojava, but with many other participants sharing their updates who participated in the tour. So, as I mentioned, we're missing only 1 EC member right now. We're missing Software AG. We have 2 new EC members, and I'd just like to give an opportunity for them to introduce themselves. So we have ARM, who is joining us on the executive committee again, as well as JetBrains joining the executive committee. So I'd like to give an opportunity for Rod Crawford representing ARM and Tricia G representing JetBrains. Just say a few words, introduce yourself to the community.
Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Rod Crawford. I've been with ARM for about 23 years. I founded a lot of ARM's initial Java efforts in terms of porting something you may never even heard of called Java OS to the ARM architecture, and worked with a team on optimization for JVMs and just-in-time compilers. I've got a strong interest in the progress of the Java platform and the progress of OpenJDK. In the last few years, I worked with some members of the OpenJDK community to get some of the JVMs ported to the ARM architecture there as well. So that's me.
All right. Thanks, Rod. Welcome. And Tricia from JetBrains. Okay. We might have lost Tricia. I know she was on the call earlier. All right, Tricia, if you're muted, you can unmute now so we can hear you. And come back to that one. All right, then. All right, every year the EC also decides where we're going to meet in the following year. Just as a reminder, in case you don't know, our calendar is public on jcp.org. It's a quick link on the upper right-hand corner where you can find our calendar where our meetings are published. So we're currently discussing where our meetings will be in 2018. We meet 3 times face-to-face, and other months we meet in teleconferences, just like this one. If you've been following JCP news on our membership report, you know that in 2016, last May, we introduced some new membership levels as a part of our newest version of the JCP, JCP 2.10. So let's just share some of our progress with the community. We've received over 500 new membership agreements since we rolled out these changes to essentially the idea with JCP 2.10 was to broaden participation. So I think the executive committee overall is pleased with the progress that we've seen and the new memberships that have come in from the community. 387 for individual Java developers, 24 for our new partner membership agreement, which is designed for Java user groups, and close to 30 new corporate members. So good progress there. We're getting ready to start out another membership drive. If you're not currently a member of the JCP, definitely encourage you to check that out and please join. I'll add a link in the minutes to where you can do that. But essentially, jcp.org, in the homepage, there's a link to membership drive where you can go ahead and join. If you're on WebEx, I'll show you now. So it's here. Membership drive, instructions for different type of membership. Full membership, associate membership, which is designed for individual Java developers, and the partner membership if you're a Java user group and your Java user group is not a member yet. So I encourage you to get involved with that. We're also going to be starting up our efforts to renew all of the memberships. So if you're already a member, please follow up and respond to the renewal information emails that you're going to be getting from the program office starting in the next month. All right, if you're not aware, Java 1 is coming up. I hope many of you will be coming to San Francisco for our annual gathering at Java 1. Lots of cool activities going on. We have our annual JCP party. That will be Monday night. Look for invites on Twitter. Contact me directly if you don't see an invite, but we definitely want to share and come together in the community at Java 1. Our party will be on Monday night, as usual, and we'll also have another public EC meeting Sunday night, which has become the custom. This year we'll be at Moscone West, which is cool, back at Moscone for Java 1, and we'll do our annual JCP Awards again, as we've done over the last several years. If you'd like to nominate anyone for a JCP award, you can follow the link that I have here on WebEx. Nominations will be open through June, and the executive committee vote will determine who the winners are. We'll announce the winners at the annual JCP party in October. All right, moving on to our next agenda item, which was to update a community on the JCP Executive Committee Working Group. So in January, when the EC met face-to-face in London, we decided to form three working groups. So all of the minutes from the working groups are public, and you can find those in the JCP EC meeting summary. There's links to those. So since January, we've been meeting on three different topics. First of those is the Java ME Working Group. So we have a few participants joining from the EC looking at some new activities that could be revived around Java ME. We also have an Open JDK Working Group. So the Open JDK Working Group has been looking at how to ensure there's smooth participation and cooperation between the JCP and the OpenJDK community. So we've met several times to answer any questions and ambiguities and look at ways that we can streamline things in the process between the JCP and OpenJDK. So lots of good discussion going on there. And the third working group is around JCP.next. So defining the next version of the JCP. As we just talked about in the membership report, we rolled out the last version of the JCP last year in 2016, focused on broadening JCP participation. So we're looking at doing a minor update starting this year, where we'll look at a theme around collaborative RI development. So few issues have been discussed in the JCP.next working group, and that will continue throughout this year as well. So I think that brings you up to date on what the executive community has been working on in this first part of 2017. We'll go ahead and turn it over now to our two remaining agenda items, which are the Open JDK Adoption Group update by Jalabor, So I have live from him here. Delver, are you on the line?
Yeah, hi. Thank you very much, Heather.
So I have slides from you. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, and I'll display your slides on the screen here in WebEx as well.
Excellent. Thank you very much. As you can see from the first slide, I work at Oracle. Next slide, please. My name is... Right, on Java, among other things, right? And my name is Dalibor Topic. I am a product manager in the Java Platform Group at Oracle. In various roles in OpenJDK community, among one of those is that I'm the group lead for the OpenJDK adoption group. Next slide, please. I'm sure you've seen the Safe Harbor service before. I was invited kindly by Heather to present about the OpenJDK adoption group to the EC, and I wanted to touch on its status, what's happening on its various activity, and then to discuss in a bit more detail the current state of the JDK 9 outreach we have been doing as part of the adoption and the quality group in OpenJDK. And finally, I want to end with a few things that I think we could do in the coming months to improve some of these things. Let's go to the next slide, please. Another one. All right. So the adoption group is an OpenJDK group, which makes it a bit different from a project. Groups are an organizational structure in OpenJDK community. And they are pretty rare. There is only a couple of those. There is one for builds. There is one for hotspots. There is one for the different porting projects. And the last one to be created has been the OpenJDK adoption group, which was created back in late 2013. It was inspired by the whole, you know, infectious enthusiasm of the adopt OpenJDK effort that was led by the LJC and SuJava and various other JUCs who've worked together to get many Java developers exposed to all these good things happening inside of the JDK community. And so the initial group members came from adopt OpenJDK community itself, as well as contributors to OpenJDK inside Oracle, such as Robert O'Donnell, who presented for the EC back in March. But also OpenJDK contributors outside Oracle, such as Mario Torre from Red Hat. And this gave us a good mix of initial members with both experience of working within OpenJDK itself and also with members who had a lot of experience working in other open source communities. And the group has since become a pretty good venue for open discussions on collaboration in OpenJDK in general. And that's one of its major roles, to have a place in OpenJDK that's focused on discussing collaboration and how to improve it going forward. In contrast to, say, the more general open discuss mailing list, which is focused on nothing at all, per se. But please do not, you know, post any ads to sell bikes there or something like that. It's also a place to find experienced OpenJDK contributors that may assist at the various points along one's journey to contribute to OpenJDK, to use OpenJDK, to make builds and so forth. And last but not least, I think its most important role is to provide a stage to debate all kinds of grand as well as small ideas on to how to work in and with OpenJDK and within OpenJDK better ideas going forward. Next slide, please. And if you go to the webpage of the adoption group in OpenJDK, you'll find it has a motto to describe its purpose. So unfortunately, it's not in Latin, so it's in plain English. It bundles and aids collaboration on OpenJDK projects by lowering the barriers to contribution and bringing JDK development into the hearts of the Java community. And this is certainly a somewhat flowery way saying that we are trying to, you know, bring various students from various backgrounds together who are interested in working together around OpenJDK, and also reaching out to the various projects in the Java open source ecosystem to make them aware of developments in JDK itself that may be beneficial to them. OpenJDK groups do not host any code, and this may be somewhat surprising. So there is no adoption group code per se. It hasn't sponsored any OpenJDK projects of its own yet. What it has is a wiki page where we, you know, collect various bits of information that may be useful for newcomers, such as, you know, pointers to documentation around contributing processes, as well as, say, in the case of JDK 9, certain guidelines how to start testing your code with JDK 9 and how to what kind of things to look for in your own code so that you can get up and running quickly with this release. And most of the activity happens on the mailing list. So there is one public mailing list, Adoption Discuss, that anyone here can subscribe to and participate in our discussions directly. And currently the group has 8 group members. You don't have to be a group member to do pretty much anything other than write to the wiki. But even then, you know, people would say on the list, we think should be there in the first place. And one of us will make sure that happens. Next slide, please. Moving on. Right. In terms of activity, like I said, most of this takes place on the actual mailing list. The mailing list is fairly busy, as mailing lists go. But there is a lot of variation from one month to another. So the busy month, it'll have, let's say, 100 messages. If it's not a busy month, it may have just a dozen or so. So, you know, if you're signed up to the mailing list, you won't get drowned in email every day, but you will, you know, receive a regular feed of discussions. Today we have around 250 participants that take part in the mailing list per se. As is typical for mailing list, not every one of those participants actually ends up posting to it. So in our case, around 10% have been posting in this year so far. And of course, of those 10%, you'll find that most of those that are actively participating in those threads tend to be those that are group members, such as Martin Verburg from the Lona Java community, or Mani from LJC as well. Myself, Maria Torre, and so forth. Next slide, please. And as I mentioned before, this mailing list is a really good place to have larger discussions around contributing in general and around specifics of JDK development. So, for example, a regular topic that is posted to the list and discussed there are test results of JDK 9 builds, and so the Oracle team working in OpenJDK takes each early access build of JDK 9 and runs the test suite that's part of the OpenJDK source code, the regression tests, using the JTREG tool on Oracle Linux and publishes the results as quickly as they can, which then in turn gives the various other, for example, porting efforts on OpenJDK a baseline of what to expect when they look at a particular JDK 9 built regression test results on their platform and to compare against to be able to discern, for example, whether a regression test failure may be specific to their port and platform and maybe something to, you know, deeper dive into, or what it may be a general issue that's temporarily affecting the source code. As part of those test results, there are regular calls for testing of new features that are being published every, 2 to 3 weeks as part of the quality outreach, where Rory O'Donnell provides pointers to builds, provides a brief summary of what kind of features or issues to look forward or look for, in a particular build, and of course, where and how to provide feedback. And of course, you can't test if you don't have something to test on. So building binaries, both of OpenJDK itself, as well as of the associated tools used to make OpenJDK or test OpenJDK, tends to be a regular topic on the main list. The London Java community in particular has been working over the past couple of months to set up a build farm of their own to produce, I think, nightly builds of OpenJDK. And Ben Evans from LJC, I believe, has briefed the JCPEC on their efforts, I think, 1 or 2 months ago. So if you've missed that, I think you can find it in the JCPEC minutes as well. Another regular topic of our main list is the various efforts by the LJC and VJUG and other Java user groups to organize hack days around OpenJDK and JDK features to try out new developments and, where possible, necessary, provide feedback upon those features. Because, of course, in many of these cases, when we're developing something entirely new and different, it's very important to get feedback from users as early as possible in this process, who try out a new feature in Angular and let us know, for example, if a language feature really meets their needs and expectations. And if not, you know, maybe even how to address that going forward. In terms of, contributions, another large discussion that happens with some regularity is how to remove barriers to entry for new contributors, how to make it easier for them to find the right kind of contributions and the right kind of project that matches the skill level, that matches their time commitment, and enables them to proceed from being, you know, a novice participant on main list, actually become a full-fledged contributor and committer. So, for example, how to clean up low-hanging fruit, how to find low-hanging fruit to clean up to begin with, and so forth. And last but not least, the list also serves as a good place to discuss any kind of future feature ideas people might have on the tip of their tongue, but not quite know where to go with those ideas. And so that's where this list also fulfills its role as being the place to go to if you don't quite know, you know, if you have a feature or if you have a patch or something, who to go to, which list to go to, where to put in the bug tracker, so that somebody will actually take a look at it. And that's one of the things we do. We kind of help people shepherd the contributions in the right spot. Next slide, please. And one of the, I think, most broad efforts of the group has been the quality outreach, which was initiated pretty much right from the start within the JDK adoption group, and then graduated, I think, a year and a half ago to the OpenJDK quality group. Rory O'Donnell, who's the quality group lead, gave a presentation to JCPEC at the March 2017 meeting, based on the presentation we had done at the FOSDEM conference, where a number of adoption group members tend to meet every year in Brussels. This quality outreach effort has been inspired by, as usual, as you would assume, by the Adopt OpenJDK effort to build and test various open source projects on OpenJDK builds. We have, when we started up, looked at this effort and then learned from it and reassembled ideas somewhat different to make it work a bit better. The initial effort by Adopt OpenJDK, the idea was to have various volunteer developers set up CI builds, continuous integration builds of various open source projects against OpenJDK, and then to notify the various parties when something goes wrong in those builds. As time went by, so I think the motivation among many developers to basically monitor a third-party CI system went down over time. So what we have done instead was to involve developers of such open source projects as closely as possible directly by inviting to participate in Alfred program, by reaching out to them on their mailing lists and have conversations with them in their environments where they're using their own CI environments, so they can let us know if something goes wrong or not in the way that's most convenient to them. And as part of this effort, it is now ballooned to more than 100 projects that participate, some of them very regularly in how they test and report back the results. Some of them not quite as regularly, but of course, given that those are open source projects, I think it's entirely fine to assume that they put in as much as effort as they can possibly afford to into testing something like the JDK. Let's go to the point. This effort is easy to join. So if you happen to be a developer on an open source project that isn't testing its code against the latest JDK early access builds, you can fix that. All you need to do is to, join the quality discuss mailing list at OpenJDK, then email to it saying, hey, I want to join, and then some, typically Rory, will get back to you with details. And as you can see in this particular case, it only took him 7 minutes to go back to Apache on Stefan Bodovic and get him enlisted in the program. And the result of that is, of course, that the ANT team has done a terrific job of keeping ANT up to date with JDK 9 and ensuring that everything works well there. And this is a typical, you know, thing we see with participating projects, that they may start off as not having been very closely following JDK development in general, may not have a good idea of what their JDK adoption upgrade schedule looks like. But then over time, as they start testing, as they eliminate problematic spots in code, they become more certain in their support for upcoming versions and then can embrace those more quickly and can also over time move to a less spontaneous JDK upgrade release policy, so to say, and a more planned one, which I think tends to benefit the ecosystem overall. Next slide, please. And just to give you an example, many of the projects we're in touch with, we reach out to, tend to really follow JDK developments quite closely. A feature that was announced and discussed just a couple of weeks ago to add automatic module names in manifest files as a way to name automatic modules, basically. That feature was discussed a couple of weeks ago and already has been implemented in Apache Maven, in its resolver. IntelliJ has support to recognize this from manifests. Even some JSRs are going through the effort to add such manifest name entries, XRS, and so are other, you know, popular tools such as the JUnit 5 project. Next slide, please. But of course, if you look across the ecosystem, you'll find that bytecode manipulation tools that participate in outreach like ByteBuddy have done this as well. The Lightweight Struggle project has done this as well, and they also participate in this effort. And even Apache Commons Lang Library has done this. It looks like this is going to be part of the next release. And then following on the, you've heard it before, the JCPEC, I think at the May meeting, Gunnar Morling from the Beam Validation JSR was presenting about their status, and he also announced on Twitter they're planning to add support for the future as well. And this is also another one of those projects that participate in the quality outreach. So I think, you know, these two pages show pretty good, give you a pretty good idea of how projects that participate can benefit from being closer to JDK mainline and understanding what kind of changes are coming and being more rapid in adopting those changes, trying them out, and delivering them to the users. Next slide, please. Another area that's important for users are build tools. The Maven project has been participating for quite a while in our outreach, and the Maven PMC chair, Robert Schulte, has a couple of weeks ago announced that all of Maven runs fine on Maven 3 runs fine on Java 9. In those cases, when there are issues, they're typically plugin related. Then the typical recommendation is to move on to the latest plugin version. The I already mentioned Ant, which works pretty well with 9 as well. And then, of course, there's Gradle. The Gradle team has had some troubles getting their build tool to work with 9 due to usage of internal APIs. One of those has been that they've been trying to make an unmodifiable collection modifiable again, for various reasons. And with the latest changes, I think those troubles should be over. That being said, their plan is to support Java 9's runtime in the next release, 4.1, coming up in July, and to provide full support for Jigsaw in release after that. And then, aside from building codes, one other thing that Java developers really like to do is to log. And so SLF4J has also been one of those projects that have been very actively participating in quality outreach. They've also, you know, done the work necessary to support, for example, module declarations in their upcoming versions. Next slide, please. Aside from tools and logging, people tend to use frameworks a lot. And just to give you an idea, the Spring Framework has announced the release candidates a couple of weeks ago, which, as Jürgen Holler, the Spring lead, says, is ready for 9. They say it's fully aligned with JDK 9 runtime on the class path as well as on the module path, which I think, you know, a really good example of a complex framework taking proactive action to benefit from 9. And to test against 9 and to be able to save it at the stage. The Hibernate framework, as I mentioned before, the bin validation and other aspects, has also been quite actively part of the quality outreach, testing, reporting issues as they went along. In the latest Hibernate search announcements from 5.8.0 beta 2, they also announced that they're getting ready for 9. And I think one of the poster children for the quality outreach effort has been the Apache Lucene project, which was part of the inspiration for this, because back in the Java 7 timeframe, they had found a fairly critical issue in Hotspot back then, that ended up being fixed in update release, because at the time, simply they didn't know that, you know, Java 7 was really coming. And so they were one of the first projects we reached out to. Well, the first project that actively worked to make their code as testable as possible with upcoming JDK releases. And they helped us uncover a number of issues going forward, typically, you know, P1, P2 crashers. And they've been great to work with as part of the outreach. And for them, of course, the benefit was they've been they've had much more confidence in JDK releases moving forward. And just, I think, yesterday or today at the Berlin Buzzword Conference, the PMC chair for Apache Lucene, Uwe Schindler, had a talk about the sort of next version of Lucene, Apache Lucene 7. I think this is quite interesting because in their case, they presented about future plans to support the Java 9 module system and the current state of their Java 9 support, because they expect that Lucene, Solr, and Elasticsearch will to be one of the first communities that will migrate to Java 9 because the recent hotspot optimizations will execute queries and allow document area access with much higher performance. I think that also shows that there is a number of, you know, projects out there and frameworks that really anticipate JDK 9 very well, thanks to their, I think, in part, of their participation in efforts such as quality outreach. Next slide, please. Last but not least, everybody's favorite tools are really IDEs, and the three major IDEs, whether that's NetBeans or Eclipse or IntelliJ, have all recently published their own early access development builds, betas, with some preliminary at least support for Java 9. In some cases, the IDEs will let you, you know, work with modular projects and see the dependency graphs, and so on and so on. Okay, let's move on to the next slide, please. So, I think you can see that, in particular in the Outreach project, we've been actively trying to work together with a number of projects to help them, you know, get the code working on 9, embrace the upcoming features, and in turn benefit from those changes. I think this is really a worthwhile effort to participate in because it helps both the JDK team, in OpenJDK, provide better code to all users of the JDK ultimately, by testing it in environments that otherwise, you know, wouldn't be testable by experts. And as such, I think it would be really great to have more JCP EC members participate in this effort. So those of you, you know, who are JCP members in general and work on open source projects, you know, we would really like to have you join this effort so that we can, you know, let you know when new builds are coming, when new features are coming, and get your feedback, hopefully in time to address it for releases. Also, I think something we've done over the past year successfully has been to publish regular test results for OpenJDK tests on early test builds. It would be great to see more people building OpenJDK publish such results as well on the platforms they care about. And I think in particular SAP and IBM have done a really great job there in the OpenJDK community with their PowerPC and AIX port and Linux port. And I hope that, you know, others in the community who build OpenJDK do the same and start sharing their regression test results as well. To make it easier for people porting OpenJDK to different platforms, as I said before, to discern whether a failure is potentially critical or potentially, you know, a result of their port requiring a bit more work. And just, you know, last week there was somebody on the OpenJDK list who's trying to, I think, get it to build on Debian Alpha or Debian M68K on all kinds of configurations, but I don't think any other distribution cares about it. In those cases, I think being able to look back at experience of more mainline ports is very valuable to discern what kind of failures are actually, you know, port specific and which ones aren't. And of course, more ideas are welcome at any time for things we could be doing differently, we could be doing better. We have a main list. Please join us there. Please let us know about any things you think we could be doing to make it easier for contributors to participate in OpenJDK projects. Bring your ideas, you know, let's talk about that. And with that, I think that's all the slides I had.
Okay, great. Thanks, Dalibor. So everyone should join the list here. You can go and join on the OpenJDK adoption group. There's a link to join the mailing list. Thanks for that update. As you mentioned, this was follow-up from the March EC meeting where Rory came and gave an update from the quality outreach. So thanks for sharing with us all the great work that's happening in the adoption group. We'll go ahead and move on now to the Java US tour. And we have only about 15 minutes for that, and I did want to save a little bit of time for questions. So, Bruno, I don't know, can you think you can handle giving us a 10-minute Java US tour? I have the slides up that you sent to me, Evangela's Java tour. Is Bruno there? Or Yolande or Ottavio? All right.
Bruno seems to be on mute.
Question. We can always take questions then if no one is available to give us an update on the Java tour that just completed last week. Any questions?
Hello. Hey, Heather, can you hear me now?
Bruno. Yes.
Yes, okay. All right. Okay, so thanks, everyone. We're going to try to be quick here so we can finish on time. We did – that's also a follow-up from the presentation that we presented at the face-to-face meeting. So when we were at the face-to-face meeting about a month ago, we were actually starting the first day of the Java USA tour around Java user groups. So that was an initiative put together by several Java user groups that kind of organized a series of events. And we had, we had several companies supporting us to be able to do this. We started with the whole JCP Executive Committee board in Austin, having a presentation to the Austin Java user group. And from there, we did we traveled to several cities, by an RV, a motorhome, and then we ended the tour flying to Chicago when we were actually coming back to Brazil. So it was a long tour, but lots of fun. I was hearing Dalibor talking right before, and it's very exciting. All of those initiatives that Java user groups are doing around the world, the OpenJDK, the adopted JSR, so it's very nice to actually come to the user groups and see them in person and visit them in person and to help energize. So one of the biggest thing that we had in the tour is that we were able to visit those user groups all in person, and we several user groups were slowing down for some reasons. So other user groups we had brand new user groups that received us. So it was a tour that helped us energize this whole community in the southeast of the United States. All right. So next slide, please. So first things first is that we did travel most of the time in a motorhome, in an RV. And it was, we were four speakers traveling all the time. We also had a few other speakers that were in the cities, right? So we had Leonardo Lima that helped us in Austin and Houston since he lives in Dallas. We also had Brian Leonard that joined us in Jacksonville because that's the city he lives in. So we had a few of those extra speakers, but it was very fun to be four of us inside this kind of really a home on wheels kind of thing, and it was also a tiring process. It was a lot of driving, but we were able to actually even get some work done. Next slide, please. So we did get some work done every time we stop it or even inside the RV itself. We also visit, friends' houses along the way. So basically we're trying to do all this tour, visit everyone, And one of the things that we're trying to do all the time is actually visiting people in their houses. So we had either visit JUG leaders' houses or their offices, or many times, you know, we just, you know, went out for dinner and you know, drink a beer in a bar. So it was a lot of confraternization, but we also had to do some work along the way, right? So all of us were still working while we were doing this tour, and it was lots of fun. Next slide, please. So we did meet developers everywhere. So those are just a few of the pictures that we took with these groups. So there's, you know, we were very well received by in every city. As I said before, some of the cities, you know, we had, for example, the Little Rock Javisa group that's just a few months old, and you know, they had their largest ever meeting because we were there, so it helped them a lot. We also had the situation of the Jacksonville user group that hadn't had a meeting for quite some time, and they were very happy. And also, it was one of the largest crowds. So it's very nice that when we can do this, because we really help energize all the user groups. Next slide, please. And of course, all of these were doing presentations, right? So so we were basically doing one day of traveling, one day of presentations. We did, depending on the user group, we did some user groups. We had a full day of presentations, you know, so, even in Houston, for example, Houston had actually hosted us for 2 days. So we had two full days of presentations, kind of like a mini event. Some other cities like Jacksonville, we had also full day event. Most of the user groups were like a nightly meeting. So it was a different formats, but presentations. So we did in several places, we streamed the presentations live online. So we had, even a larger crowd of people watching online. We did record those presentations. I was looking, some of the presentations that we recorded were already online. I was looking a few minutes ago, and one of the presentations has passed 1,500 views already online. So it was a good process of creating the content and presenting the content and discussing with people. We did a very, very interactive process. You know, we were discussing in every place. We're discussing a lot with everyone, what they're doing, what problems they had, and, you know, what kinds of things they're looking for in terms of Java. We saw a very interesting excitement around Java 9, so it's nice to talk right after Dalibor again. Because, you know, there was a lot of excitement about Java 9. It was one of the most asked things in the user groups were around Java 9. It was interesting also because we had just gone through the voting of the Jigsaw voting. So there was another question and discussion that we had we with each one of the user groups. So it was really good to see all this energy in the Java community, and see what people expect going forward. A lot of people already experimenting with Java 9. Most people already using Java 8 in production. So it's like, you know, so it's a very exciting moment for Java, and the user groups are they are increasing their activity. So we talk with not only had presentation, but we also had meetings with the JUG leaders to help them out, organize the user groups and create new activities and things like that. So it was really interesting to see how much energy all the JUG leaders are putting into their groups, and looking forward and actually trying to do more things. One of the things that we had is that several of the Java group leaders had submitted talks to Java 1. They're coming to Java 1. There's several JUG leaders that have never been to Java 1 before, but now, this year they're getting ready to come. So there is clearly a strong movement around Java right now. Next slide, please. So we also had a lot of content, right? So everything we did, we went on the social media, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. There's lots of videos that were created, and so the whole point was not only to discuss with the local user groups, but also to show and present all of this content everywhere, right? So one of the things that we're trying to do in all those places, we're talking about the JCP and show the importance of the JCP. We discuss with the JUG leaders things about, like, the adopted JSR and adopted OpenJDK, so how the user groups can participate, how they can join the JCP if they haven't joined yet. We also talk with the members on how they can join the JCP. So all of those things were discussed throughout the tour. So, you know, and we also try to do a lot of things online. And actually, the interesting thing about the online things is that, you know, now that we are back, we're talking to the user group because of course, although we come presentially, in some of the user groups, we only had like a couple of hours and to do all the presentations. So we had to kind of reduce some of the things that we were talking about, for example. So one of the things that we're organizing these groups now is we're going to have a week that we're going to redo all those presentations live, online. And so user groups all over around the world can participate and get the same content live and ask questions and interact with the speakers because we're going to do like a continuation of the tour on the online side now. Next slide, please. Another thing that we did during this process was a strong push in terms of developer career. So we had every day we had videos about developer career. We had, in parallel to the tour, we had a series of videos about Java EE 8, right? So with lots of interviews. With all of the interviews, we're discussing how developers can improve their careers, how they can use the JCP technologies and the JCP standards to improve their careers. So there's a huge push around career also. Next slide, please. And one interesting thing is that we did stop by the Huntsville Space Camp to do a live presentation. So that's me and Ian Chesler sitting down right in front of the space shuttle doing a live presentation. We had almost 100 people watching us live at that moment. And while we're doing this, the social media director of the Huntsville Space Camp showed up, and she kind of wanted to discuss how we're doing this and what we're doing and what kind of things we're doing. She was very nice, actually. But, you know, that ended up being an interesting live presentation because we had this live discussion of the social media director of, you know, that we should have asked permission before we're doing this and all this kind of things. So, you know, we did get in trouble in a couple of places by trying to present Java. All right, next slide, please. And of course, we had lots of fun, right? Every time, you know, we had to do the normal things about buying food and stopping to sleep every day in the RV and all of that. So every time we could, we would have some relaxing time. And you know, in that picture, you can see Gene Betancourt, that's the JUG leader from the Houston Java User Group, piling up on the Java ice cream, right? So, and you know, that's what we're trying to, although there was a serious tour, but we had lots of cool fun moments among developers. Next slide, please. And so this is a very large Java user group effort. Lots of user groups participate in this. And, you know, so I thank all the Java user group leaders that put a lot of effort to organize all of these meetings. And, you know, we're going to come up with more content and more discussions about this whole tour in the next few days. All right. And I think we have Yolande here on the call. I'm not sure if you want to add anything, Yolande.
Okay.
All right. Well, that was a great update. Thanks, Bruno. We have 2 minutes remaining for questions, or if Yvonne wants to add anything, or anyone else wants to add anything that was on the tour. I was there very gratefully from Austin. Awesome effort. Glad to see it happening. Any questions?
So this is Yolande. Sorry, I was trying to get off of mute. I just wanted to add a big thank you to Bruno because he's the one who organized it. I mean, I helped him, but it wouldn't have happened without him. And the great thing, Bruno is also fantastic because he makes the whole experience very interactive. So, I mean, it was really great to, it was really an interactive process. I think, Bruno, you did a great job of describing it, but I just want to emphasize that a little bit more. Each presenter really asked a lot of questions, and we also captured all the questions that people had at the beginning of those meetings, and we tried to answer as many questions as possible. So it was, it was really a great interaction with everybody, so the leaders, but also like the audience that came to each of the meetings. So kudos to Bruno.
Thank you, Lynn.
Sure.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for joining our first public EC meeting. We'll have another public EC meeting December 12th. Put it on your calendar. Let us know any topics you want to hear about. Recording of this call will be available next week on jcp.org. You can find that by going to jcp.org and then clicking on the click link on the top right EC meeting summary. That's where you can find all of our summaries and materials, and I'll also put a link in the June session for the audio recording as well as the materials from Dalibor and Bruno, which aren't currently here at the moment, but they will be here next week. Thanks, everybody, for joining. Hope to see many of you at Java One in San Francisco and participating in our next meetings coming up in the future.
Thank you, everyone.
Go ahead and turn off the...
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Sarah. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.